I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop. The guys talk about what's in the news and whatever's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer and blogger Jimmy Israel, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, business editor Marcus Mabry, and I'd like to welcome to the shop Marcus Skelton. He's chairman of D.C. Young Republicans here in Washington, D.C. I may jump in here or there, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Yo, fellas! Welcome to the shop. How we doing?
I'm doing great. How's it going, man?
Good.
Great.
All right. Well, Mr. Mabry, my man, what's going on? Washington Mutual's on the block. Lehman just went under. AIG, my man, in layman's terms, what just happened?
In layman's term, you can say the bottom fell out, or you can say nobody trusts nobody. That's basically what's happening. We have an amazing crisis of confidence. Banks will not lend money to each other. We have some of the biggest names on Wall Street disappearing. These are firms that, you know, certainly I think everybody, but especially black folks who for so long were kept out of jobs in these firms and working for them, had a sense of awe about. All of a sudden, Lehman Brothers is no more. There are only two investment banks, independent investment banks left in this country on Wall Street. That's as of now. One could be disappearing soon, and there are Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs. That's it. There used to be five of them just a week ago. Mm. It is an incredibly bad situation, unprecedented, really, since the Great Depression.
Oh, the humanity. Skelton, my man, you said you're a stockholder, AIG. The government just bailed them out to the tune of $85 billion, a loan in exchange for 80% stake. Man, you got to be crying.
Not necessarily. Actually, I was sitting there with my fingers crossed and was looking to see, of course, okay. Being chairman of Young Republicans, what is the Republican nominee for president going to say about AIG? And I think John McCain gave a real answer. You know, if you usually look at the Republican playbook, you expect most Republicans to never do a bailout. But I think that's what separated John McCain for him saying that he looked at how many jobs were at stake. And, you know,
well, John McCain
in the grand scheme of things about helping AIG out. So
this is Mark. This is Marcus Mabry. I just have to say, just sure, a point of ahead. A fact check here. On today's show, I saw John McCain live say that he was against an AIG bailout. Mm-hmm. So he may have changed his tune, but let's acknowledge he did not originally say that. He said no bailout for AIG. Read my lips. That's what he said in the beginning.
All right. Well, with all that said, Ruben, I'm of the opinion that neither candidate seems to have much to say of any use about this Wall Street thing. What do you say?
That is correct, because this problem is enormous. We have a couple of mistaken impressions in this country. One is that if you want a good education system, you elect a president as if he were the chief superintendent of schools. The other thing is that we think that if you want a good economy, somehow the president will fix your economy for you. That's not true either. The economy has a life of its own. There are things a president can do to benefit or hurt an economy. But at the end of the day, the chairman of the Federal Reserve is a lot more important than the president with regard to the economy. But specifically, a couple of things that McCain and Obama have talked about doing that would impact the economy. Three areas: taxes, trade, and the mortgage bailout. With regard to taxes,
hold on. I got some tape on that. You want to hear it? I do have some tape from each candidate talking a little bit about taxes.
Good.
You want to play that?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. I think we'll play John McCain first. Well, you can figure out who's talking about John McCain first, and then we'll play Senator Obama talking about taxes this week.
And the worst thing we can do in this bad economy, and it is a bad economy, is to raise people's taxes. I will not raise your taxes. Senator Obama wants to raise your taxes. I will be glad to stand in that position.
I offer three times the tax relief for middle-class families as Senator McCain does. Because in an economy like this, the last thing we should do is raise taxes on the middle class.
So, Ruben, there is a distinction there. I mean, you were talking about the importance of the Fed and that the president really has very little to say about it. But there is tax policy, and they're offering a clear distinction here.
What I mean to say there is President Clinton will look back and say, you know, during 8 years, we had a great economy, and he'll try to claim credit for the economy. There's a lot that he can't claim credit for. In this case with taxes, you know, the president sets tax policy or recommends tax policy be set by Congress. And I think we have a difference of opinion. Clearly, McCain sounds more like the old Republican standard of don't raise taxes, particularly in this kind of economy. It's bad for you. It might drain even more money out of the economy. With regard to Obama, his position had been, up until recently, more pushing these middle-class tax cuts. But I think he hit a real snag recently during an ABC interview with George Stephanopoulos, where he basically conceded that if the economy was still shaky, he wouldn't go through with raising taxes. I'm simplifying that, but the idea was to not make the Bush tax cuts, not let them expire. And so people have jumped on that and said basically that Obama sounds now like a Republican supply-sider. He's admitting that tax cuts stimulate the economy. On the issue of trade, so it's sort of the guy who's wrong versus the guy whose position is a mess.
What about the whole bailout situation? As you know, you guys were just talking about just a minute ago. The fact is that the government stepped in yet again,
right?
After refusing to step in for Lehman Brothers, but now stepping in for AIG.
The American people fall into two camps: those who believe that government should come to the rescue, and those who believe that when government comes to the rescue, it tends to make things worse. But again, issue by issue, there are going to be differences. They're going to sort of nibble around the edges, but make no mistake. The one thing that Barack Obama and John McCain agree on, this issue scares the heck out of them.
Yeah, this is Marcus Mabry again. That's exactly right. And I think they both made missteps, and I didn't want to come down too hard on Senator McCain because Biden as well, speaking for Senator Obama, originally said he was against this AIG bailout. It is the populist thing to say, I'm against bailouts. I'm against making saving the fat cat's butts when they've made mistakes on Wall Street. The fact is, the reason that the government did the right thing by bailing out AIG, because AIG is the largest insurance company in the world. AIG was one of the people that insured lots of risky financial things that Wall Street firms were doing. If AIG went out of business, then all the insurance that they had to protect themselves against the risk they were taking would also go away. You would see a tidal wave the likes of which we've never seen in a globalized economy if AIG went out of business. So they did the right thing by saving it.
Can I ask you that, Marcus? I wanted to ask, you're up in New York, and what's the mood up there? I mean, is it kind of a thing where people are kind of walking around with that, like that, from the Peanuts, cartoon, like this dust cloud over their heads? I mean, do they feel, mm-hmm. is there a sense of fear and gloom and anxiety?
That fear and loathing that we all talk about, there is literal fear and loathing happening in the city. Not just because this city depends so much on our economy for Wall Street and the big bonuses they make down there, but we are really in a place that we've never been before. We had hundreds of billions of dollars that was injected into the global economy by central banks around the world, our Fed, other central banks, in coordination with each other, and yet it has not made a serious difference. Markets lack confidence. Without confidence, you don't have capitalism.
Can I ask Marcus Skelton a question? Because in addition to being chairman of the D.C. Young Republicans, you work for a nonprofit.
Yes.
Is there a sense of anxiety in the nonprofit world because so much of your funding comes from rich people with extra cash?
Oh, well, of course. And we've talked about home mortgages. The next step is going to be the student loan crisis that people haven't mentioned yet. And this is the second part of this where the banks have gotten – they went from giving everybody the money to now they're going to give nobody money. But businesses overall, nonprofit and private sector businesses, are getting to the point where they're looking to wonder how they're going to keep the doors open. And I think, and that's the type of economy that we're in, and people have kind of thrown the partisan head out the window. And when you look and wonder if you're going to have a job.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, why should they? I mean, isn't that a realistic argument to say, okay, whose watch did this happen?
Right.
And do we want more of this?
If you want to tie it down to the presidential election, it's either going to be a Senator Obama problem or it's going to be a John McCain problem in a couple months. And I think that's what people who haven't decided are looking at. And that's why the positions in these crucial issues are going to be more important. I mean, if you want to look at the campaign, John McCain said, of course, in the beginning, he was kind of against it. But now I say, you know what, that's a good idea because so much was at stake. We have to admit that we're going to have a problem no matter who's elected. And it's going to be who can handle that problem.
Ruben?
Obviously, the election is shaped up between a reformer and a change agent. This is about reform versus change. You know, if you believe that that the institutions in this country, the financial institutions, need serious reform, this proves it, McCain's your guy. If you believe it's time for a change, and as Michelle said, that the Republicans have wrecked the economy,
Hold up. I didn't say the Republicans have wrecked the economy, Ruben.
Let me paraphrase. Nice. That George Bush wrecked the economy.
I don't think I said that either, but
those two tensions exist here. And very quickly, I think the one thing that Obama has going for him, because even though at a snapshot it looks like, oh, this is bad news for the Republicans, the other piece of the pie is that change. People say they want change, but change is scary. It's inherently scary. And when you already are in a scary situation, you don't need something that makes it even more scary. And I think that the soundbite that's come out of the Republicans in the last few days is you need a steward of the economy, you need leadership. This is not the time to roll the dice, and they see Obama is rolling the dice.
Except this is the one.
I got to say, though, number one, and Ruben was right when he says the president doesn't directly impact the economy, but he does indirectly impact it in so many things he does. This lack of confidence we're seeing, this incompetence we're seeing, the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department basically running to put out fires. And every time they run out to put out fire, they see there's another fire farther down the road. It's because they don't have a strategy. you cannot escape responsibility for this. And I think John McCain, I don't think there are many people, and even if you've ever heard him talk about the economy, it's hard to look at him as a candidate and to feel, and you know, whoa, well, he'll take things in hand. His leadership when it comes to this is going to be valid. I think he's very strong when it comes to foreign policy. We've seen it in the latest New York Times poll. He's very strong when it comes to military commander-in-chief roles. However, yeah, when it comes to economic roles, no. Yeah. People don't feel
that
way.
I don't buy it because if you'd gone behind door number two and picked up Mitt Romney, the rap would have been, well, he's really good on the economy. He's a strong CEO of a company. Then the narrative would have been different. The narrative the Democrats would have come forward with, well, this was a guy who, you know, is used to killing jobs, not saving them. Mm-hmm. So no matter who the Republicans put up, there was a built-in narrative the Democrats would come up with against.
I'm not talking about the politics of it. I'm just talking about the reality of what we see in the candidate.
Okay,
but that's an interesting point because I think what you're saying is to the degree to which this is a referendum on the Republicans' handling of the economy, bad news for John McCain. But to the degree to which this is a referendum on leadership and who has leadership qualities, maybe not so bad because if you see it in that light, that's an interesting point. I got to jump in just here to say, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly visit to the barbershop, and we're visiting with Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, Marcus Mabry, and Marcus Skelton. Back to you, Jimmy.
Singer R. Kelly jumped from the radio to your TV, should you have BET. He was talking to Toure this week, my dude who often wears too much eyeliner, about his life after his recent courtroom drama. I'm sorry, Toure, if you're out there. You're my dude. Anyway, we got some tape, right?
Yep, we do. I'm just trying to process that whole exchange right there. But yes, we do. Here it is.
Let me ask you something real that millions of Americans are thinking about, you know, wondering about you. Do you like teenage girls?
When you say teenage, how old are we talking?
Girls who are teenagers.
19?
19 and younger.
I have some 19-year-old friends, but I don't like anybody illegal if that's what we're talking about, underage.
Uh-huh.
Well, that certainly clears that up.
Oh, look, I think we're going to
thanks for that, Michelle.
This kid's brain.
Oh, man. R. Kelly is just a mess, man, and I really think that him and Michael Jackson should buy their own island somewhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, he sounds like Bill Clinton trying to define the word "the." You know, I'm confused as to why we even let this guy still record. Marcus Mabry, you didn't see it, but surely you have some emotion about the R. Kelly debacle, which he was accused. He was facing a number of counts of child pornography stemming from a tape, an alleged tape that allegedly showed him having intercourse with an allegedly underage young lady.
And of course, he was acquitted.
And of course he was acquitted.
He was acquitted. She never testified. She said it wasn't her. He said it wasn't him.
You're right. That's what Jimmy, I had not heard it, not seen it, heard it before. The first time I actually heard it was just right now when y'all were playing it because I've been watching these global markets disintegrate. And wow, I got to tell you, my emotional reaction was the same thing Condoleezza Rice's stepmother said to me when she was trying to talk about, you know, how sometimes, you know, black folks do stuff and you're like, my people, my people, my people. That was my first reaction. Oh, my God. What in the world? And number one, what is he talking about? Is he just out of his mind? Number two, why do we keep buying this recording artist product? I mean, clearly, people don't see a problem with what he does in his personal life versus what he does in his professional life. People apparently can divorce that as consumers.
Michelle, you're an avid listener of music, and you're also a parent.
How do you
feel about it?
I'm actually sitting here thinking about how do I feel about this, and I kind of want to talk to – I want to ask Ruben. You guys are all parents.
Pass
what is
the buck.
It?
Pass
I'm
the
passing
buck.
The buck to Ruben because the truth is his career has exploded while he has been under this cloud.
Right.
He has.
Sure.
I mean, his sales have shot up tremendously. And he has been
–
you think that's it?
I think it's the outlaw effect.
It's
like the 50 Cent effect. You know, if you get shot 8 times, maybe your record sales will be okay. If you get shot 9 times, then you're going platinum. You know, and with R. Kelly, you know
it's
what
like
I mean?
It's like George Michael.
Yeah, let's not go there. He's like an outlaw.
But I've been reading the sort of the message boards and stuff like at Essence and so forth. A lot of women are the ones writing in to defend
that's
him.
Really saddening to
and
me.
And
I
don't know what that means.
On what basis are they defending him?
Well,
He was acquitted.
He was acquitted, and while the trial was going on, the fact is that he had not been convicted of anything, which is true. I don't know, Marcus. Marcus, go ahead.
Don't women usually wait until you get locked up before they send you love letters?
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
Oh my God,
that is a whole nother barbershop
I mean,
we can talk about.
So
that's a whole nother barbershop.
But it's Skelton.
But it's one of those things where whatever you think about R. Kelly, he was in a deep hole, and at the end of the trial, he was out of it. And when you are out of a hole, don't go anywhere near that hole. And he went right back in there when they asked him. You know, 19 is close, and you know, eventually you have that grown man radar, which he's kind of close. For future reference, you know, you almost went to jail. You should just change your criteria in dating. You know, date somebody that's a little older. They don't have to have a gray hair, maybe one or two gray hairs. You know, something sags on them a little bit, and maybe one or two wrinkles.
Okay.
Something like that. But the fact that you target someone that's 19 is close. People lie about 19.
They're just friends, Marcus. They're just friends.
The world according to Skelton, ladies and gentlemen.
The world according to me.
For that.
Well, Jimmy, what about you? You have a daughter.
I have a daughter.
And you're a hip-hop head?
I just give her the game. You know, I make sure she's 9 years old and her mother's giving her a version of the birds and the bees. And I'm giving her the other real version of the birds and the bees. And I'm going to make sure she knows the game. You know, I mean, no tape, no photographs, no older men. You know, do what you want. Be careful and protect yourself. Sweetie, I love you. Period. I think R. Kelly's going to have to reconcile this with his God. So I think that's that. And I believe that's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming to the barbershop. I have to kick it over to the lady of the house, Michelle Martin.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy Israel is a freelance writer who blogs for TV1 Online and TheRoot.com. He joined us from WCPN in Cleveland. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. He joined us from San Diego. Marcus Mabry is the international business editor for the New York Times. He joined us from our New York bureau. And Marcus Skelton is the chairman of the D.C. Young Republicans. He's also an advisor for a higher education association. He joined us from our Washington studio. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, yep.